start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lady Fatima.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
San Lorenzo Ruiz.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening. Let me ask you a question. Can any of you tell me what the initials A, S, A, P means? I'll say it again. So in the back you didn't hear me. A, S, A, P. What does it mean? Always say a prayer. Amen? Yeah. So I baptized it, huh? You're thinking on a secular plane. I'm thinking on a spiritual plane, right? I heard a story of this little girl who was in first grade. And she wanted a new bike. But she had bad grades in school. The mother said, okay, I'll buy you a new bike, but you have to pick up your grades. So the girl worked really hard for 3 months. She got straight A's. So the mother bought her a new bike. So she was practicing the bike for about a month. So after practicing for a month, she decided to show her mother how she was really expert in driving her bike. So she went around the block the first time and said, look, Mom, no arms. Second time, look, Mom, no legs. The third, look, Mom, no teeth. Because she ran into a telephone pole, right? Some of these boys here like baseball, right? They have to tell a couple of baseball stories. There are two Catholic baseball professionals that were both in their 90s. I don't think they play too much baseball in the Philippines, but here we play baseball. Okay? Some of them are still mourning the Dodgers, right? I'm mourning another team. I won't tell you what my team is, but they didn't make it to the playoffs for about the first time in 20 years, but I won't mention the team. No? But anyway, these two baseball players are talking about whether or not there's baseball in heaven. Do you think there's baseball in heaven, any of you? You think so? Well, they made a deal. Whoever died first would have to come back and tell the other one if there's baseball in heaven. So the guy that was 96, the other one was 91, died, and his friend was praying for him. After 2 days, his friend appeared to him and said, hey, good news and bad news. Good news is there's baseball in heaven. Bad news is you're pitching tonight. Okay, one more. There was a boy that was trying to hit the ball and he went like this. Missed it. Second time, threw it up. Missed it. Threw it up a third time and missed it. And the mother said, "Oh, Johnny, I'm really sorry that you had a bad day." And he said, "No, I had a great day. I'm a pitcher." Ah. Did you get that? Okay. I have a degree in English literature, philosophy, theology, and jokeology. Is that a pretty good degree? Chistología en español. Huh? Okay, today the topic I'm going to talk about, it touches all of us. The topic is this, by way of asking questions. How many of you want to go to heaven? He's not raising hand because he first wants to go to the casino, huh? Or I have to speak in Tagalog, I don't know. Okay, all of you want to go to heaven. The next question they ask is, how many want to become great saints? So you only see about half of the hands now. So notice this side here didn't raise your hands. Maybe because you didn't hear the microphone. It's like the priest who started the Mass and he said, started out the Mass, and he was a new pastor, and he said, "There's something wrong with the microphone," and he said, "and also with you." So hopefully you hear me, or maybe my New York accent is too pronounced. I don't know. So only half of you raise a hand, but you know, for us to go to heaven, we have to be saints. And I'll prove it to you using what's called logic. Who's in heaven? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Mary, the angels, and the
saints.
You got it? So for you to go to heaven, you have to become a saint. So there's no way around it. You want to go to heaven, you have to be a saint. Okay, here's the thing that you're probably thinking about. Well, Father, I know that the Pope canonizes saints, but not every day. Sometimes he canonizes saints about maybe every 3 or 4 months, and he'll canonize 3 or 4, and you know, I'm in the Philippines, there are only 2 canonized saints, no? San Luis and Pedro. My Tagalog is pretty weak, no? And I'm thinking, well, it's pretty hard if there are millions and millions of Filipinos, only 2 have been canonized in 2,000 years. I don't have a chance, no? But most saints are anonymous saints. You know what that means? Anonymous? Incognito? That means they're not canonized. Canonized doesn't mean shot out of a cannon either, okay? Canonized means that they're officially proclaimed by the Pope to be in heaven. Then they can be placed in the canon of the Mass. So most of us, and I hope here we'll have a couple of canonized saints, I hope, most of us are probably going to be anonymous saints. But whether or not you're an anonymous saint or canonized, you're still going to be in the same place. And once you go to heaven, you're not going to be anonymous, but you're going to be honored by all the other saints, the angels, and God Himself. God will give you a crown, as the Bible says, we'll be crowned for our good works. So all of us are called to become saints. Now I had an experience this morning that really touched me. I was talking to a girl that was 9 years old. How old are you? How old are you? Yes. I thought so. See? That's why I'm looking at you. I thought this girl's probably 9. You're probably a little bit older, right? Okay. You're 9 too? So you're a little bit taller, okay? But I thought she was 9-year-old. How about that for sizing up the age of kids? Pretty good, huh? But this 9-year-old girl, I asked her a question. And I said, what do you want to be? And when I was asked what I wanted to be when I was 9 years old, I had 3 ideas. I had 3 ideas. I was thinking of maybe being a baseball player. Okay, that was my first desire. I was thinking of maybe replacing Mickey Mantle in center field. Maybe you've heard of Mickey Mantle. Okay. And I was thinking also being a writer, because I like words, I like ideas, I like to communicate. I was thinking about being a writer. But also I was thinking about being a priest when I was 9 years old. That was in the back of my mind. So those were 3 possibilities: to be a baseball player, to be a writer, to be a priest. So I asked this little girl, what do you want to be? You know what she said? Are you listening? I want to be a martyr. Wow. I almost fell off my chair. I've never heard that before in my almost 61 years of life, that a 9-year-old girl said she wanted to be a martyr. Do any of you know what a martyr is? Do you learn that in school? You haven't learned that yet, okay? Some husbands and wives are thinking, it's a martyrdom to live with that guy. Okay, it's not the same thing, though, okay? A martyr is when the priest comes out to celebrate the Mass, he comes out in red when he celebrates a martyr. Why did he come out in red? It had nothing to do with communism, okay? What's the color of blood? You sure about that? So am I, okay? So the priest comes out in red because a martyr is someone who sheds his blood for Jesus Christ. So that's what the little girl said. I'm ready to shed my blood for Jesus Christ. 9 years old. Not bad. And I felt very ashamed because when I was 9, that was the last thing. I don't even think I knew what a martyr was. If you die as a martyr, where do you go? Purgatory, then heaven? You go right away. No purgatory. Because the martyr, by dying a martyr, is showing that he or she is willing to shed his blood like Jesus Christ. That means that that person has perfect love. Only those who die with perfect love will go to heaven. Otherwise, it's either purgatory or the lower place. Okay? Our love has to be perfect. So think about that little girl. Hey, she wanted to be a martyr at 9 years old. She was thinking that my life is important if I can die for Jesus Christ to be with him in heaven. So what I'd like to do today is talking about holiness. I want to talk about how this one little girl, who was about 9 years old, became a great saint. What's the name of this? What's the name of this parish? What's the name of the school that your children go to? What? Okay, Lady of Fatima. I want to talk about one little girl, then I'll give you something that I wrote that you can read at home afterward. Well, 2 of my last blog articles, no? And the name of the girl is Jacinta. Or in Spanish, Jacinta. Or in Portuguese, Jacinta. Okay, what happened was this little girl, she was a shepherd girl with her brother, whose name was Francisco. And they had an older cousin, whose name was Lucia. And they would go off and they would tend their sheep. And they were so poor that they couldn't go to school. But they were pretty good kids. They didn't have money the way we have it. Their parents were able to give them enough food to eat, but that was about it. So in 1916, which is 101 years ago, they're out tending their sheep and they saw an angel. And they were shocked. And the angel taught these children how to pray. And the angel appeared to the children 3 times. Now the 3rd time, something extraordinary happened. That the angel appeared and the angel wanted them to look up. And they lifted up their eyes and they saw in the air, they saw a big white host. And then below the white host that was dripping some blood, they could see a chalice. Do any of you know what the host is? Anyone know what the host is? What's the host?
The body
of Christ. Okay, the Eucharist, the body of Christ. What do you have in the chalice? You ever hear the word chalice? Okay, you got the blood of Christ. And the angel told Lucy, the older one, to take the host, and she ate it. Then the other ones, Jacinta and Francisco, who were about 8 and 9 years old, about your age, told them to take and drink from the chalice. And they did. So they made their first communion from the hands of an angel. That was extraordinary. Now, if we want to become holy, we have to recognize that there's a good angel and a bad angel. The good angel is your guardian angel, and the bad angel is the devil. And constantly, every day, what we have, bad thoughts, they come from the devil. And good thoughts, they come from our good angel. So we have to try to discern, which means decide, the good ones, hey, let's accept them. The bad ones, you have to reject them. And that happens to children, teenagers, your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. Everyone, every day, has that interior battle between the good spirit and the bad spirit. That's Ignatian spirituality. Okay, the children, up to that point, were normal. They liked to play a lot. And their parents told them to pray the rosary. So they obeyed to pray the rosary. But this is the way they'd pray the rosary. Because they wanted to play. They'd watch over the sheep and they wanted to play. This way they'd pray the rosary. You listening? Our Father, Hail Mary, 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 glory. Our Father, Hail Mary, 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 glory. Our Father, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. So they finished praying the rosary in about 2.5 minutes so they could go off and play. So when the parents said, did you pray the rosary? Yeah, we said the rosary. But not in a very good way, was it? That was called a shortcut, huh? A real shortcut. But what I want to emphasize in Jacinta is this. 1916 gave way to 1917. In 1917, starting in May, the children had another apparition, which means appearance. And this time, who appeared to the children was the name of your school, Our Lady of Fatima. So she appeared over a holm oak tree up in the air, and she talked to the children. And she's going to appear 6 times. Let me ask you this. Is 13 a number? That's a bad luck number, right? You think so? You think so too. You're wrong. Because there are no such thing as bad numbers. That's called superstition. Where I come from, if you go to New York, you're going to have buildings that have 50 floors, and you go from 12th floor to the 14th floor. Really? Because no one wants to go on the 13th floor because they're afraid that that's going to be bad luck. That's called superstition. That's one of the reasons why Our Lady appeared on the 13th. To dispel the myth that there's such thing as bad numbers. There's no such thing as bad numbers. 13 is as good as 15 or 2018. But something happened with the children that changed their lives. Okay, July 13th, that same year, Our Lady appeared, and what happened was she opened up her hands and told them to look down, and the ground opened up, and they had a vision of hell. A very graphic vision of hell. Now, what did hell look like? Okay, I'll try to explain it, and you can read it if you want. Ground opened up, and they looked down. And have you ever gone to the ocean? Any of you ever gone to the ocean? Did you ever stand on the seashore and just look out? What do you see? Water and water and water, right? Just a lot of water. So it was like an ocean or a lake, but not of water, but it was fire. And when that fire, they could see these transparent things that kind of look like human persons, but they're transparent. And some of them were bronze. Others were totally clear. Others were brown. Others were darker. Others were pitch black, as dark at night. And they were the souls that were in hell. In other words, the bad people that died in mortal sin. And then they could see these kind of these ugly animals that were passing through these souls and causing these souls a lot of pain. These ugly, hideous animals that they had never seen before. And these were, any of you know? These were the devils. Because the devil exists. And these souls, they're floating around. Maybe you've had a helium balloon once, a balloon that's being blown by the wind. They're being blown around without any anchoring, without any equilibrium. And the children watched this and they heard that those souls were crying out in despair. They were hollering. And after that, the vision stopped. And all that time, the children, Jacinta, Francisca, Lucia, they were there, and the Blessed Mother wanted them to see that vision. For me as a child, a teenager, a young man, an older man now, I've always been fascinated by the fact that the Blessed Mother wanted these little children, they're only 8, 9, and 10 years old, to to see a very, very clear vision of hell. Okay, from that moment on, Jacinta lived like a saint. That changed her totally. As well as Francisco. As well as Lucia. Now the life of Jacinta from that time on, from 9 years old until she's going to die about 2 years later. And her brother's going to die a little bit before her. And her cousin is going to live until she's almost 100 years old and into her late 90s, Lucia. But what I'd like to do is this. And we go through, what would Jacinta start to do after that apparition of the souls in hell? What she wanted to do was help Mary and Jesus to save souls. I repeat, help Jesus and Mary to save souls. Because Jesus and Mary want us to help them to save souls. Myself as a priest, you as children, and your parents. Jesus and Mary wants all of us here, to work to save souls. And the most important thing for us in this life is to get to heaven. Everything else doesn't really matter. Having a lot of money, a big car, a big house, being famous, it doesn't really matter. What matters is to get to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Do you agree with that?
Yes.
The only thing that matters. Parents here, your parents here, the most important thing for you is to get those kids to heaven. Your children to heaven. And my obligation as a priest is to try to get all the people that come to our parish to heaven, and I'm working on it every day. I just got out of the confessional, hearing confessions about 8 hours today. And I got out and there was a long line of people waiting for me, but you were waiting for me too, right? I give you priority tonight, okay? So let's see what this little girl would do. Starting that moment, not only did she pray one rosary, but she said it the whole rosary, the whole thing. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And she'd say more than one rosary, and she would never complain about that. Let's go through the list now. And everything she did was to try to save souls from not going to hell. That was her charism, that was her spirituality. Francisco was a little bit different, and Lucia had another mission. But this little girl, she was motivated to save souls so they would not go to hell. So I'm going to give you a list. And don't forget, she's your age. She does not have your education or your economic status. She's a very poor little shepherd girl. It had no formal schooling. However, she had a very good teacher, and it was the Blessed Mother, and that's enough for me. The Blessed Mother was a teacher. I tell you, the Blessed Mother is my teacher too. I'm not always the best student, but she is my teacher. You go to Our Lady Fatima, Our Lady is your teacher. Right? Right, parents?
Yes.
Mary is the teacher of these children, and Jesus too. Okay, now, another question. Do all of you here like to eat?
Yes.
It looks like it, huh? When I came in here, I felt these people, they like to eat. They've got a good appetite, right? What's your favorite food? Okay. Do you know what the favorite food of Jacinta was? She loved sweet grapes. That was her favorite. Sweet grapes of the hillsides, of the countryside of Portugal. You know what she said? I'm not going to eat any more grapes to save souls. And that hurt at times. Think about your favorite food. You're no longer going to eat that favorite food starting tomorrow morning. Okay? No joke, huh? So instead of that, she'd just be eating the wild berries and the nuts of the hillside. I really admire this little girl, 9 years old. 9 years old. She didn't go to school like you kids. Second, this little girl, and now that the parents, I'm going to use a little higher word. I'm trying to speak on a very simple level, but I have to use two higher words. She was called an extrovert. Do any of you adults know what an extrovert is? Okay, for example, Antonio is an extrovert, okay? No cable menor dudas, it's in Spanish, okay? An extrovert is a person that likes to party, likes to socialize, likes to be with a lot of people. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, no? For example, I live with other priests. Father Craig is an extrovert. Now you'd be surprised, I'm more of an introvert. When I preach pretty well. But I like to be by myself. Because I like to think, I like to pray, I like to write, I like to create. So I like being with myself. Jacinta was an extrovert, Francisco was an introvert. Francisco, her brother, didn't like to be with people. Why? He liked to go into church and pray and talk to God and console the heart of Jesus. They're both good, but they're both very different. You know what Jacinta really loved? She loved to dance. Yeah? Any of you know what dancing is? She loved to dance. And it wasn't like Las Cantinas of L.A., okay? It was a very innocent dance. She loved to dance. So, starting after she had the vision of the souls in hell, I'm not going to dance anymore. I'm off that up as a sacrifice so that I can help Mary and Jesus to save souls from going to hell. That's pretty hard. Think about the thing you like. Think about what you like to do most exteriorly. Okay, starting tomorrow, the teenagers, no more phone, okay? Okay? No more phone. I'm going to give up my phone until I have my degree from USC. Okay? Or at least my AAA from Cerritos. Okay? Okay, I'm going to give up. I'm going to do it out of love for God. You don't have to have a phone. Your phone is probably causing more problems than helping you out. Okay? Give it up. And by giving it up, a lot of souls are going to go to heaven. Worth it. Do you know, for 2,000 years, for more than 1,900 years, nobody had a telephone. Probably the greatest man in our country, his name is George Washington, you ever hear of him? He didn't have a telephone, did you know that? So what I'm saying is this, giving up something we like for love, you can save souls. Give up something you like, whatever it might be, like Jacinta, you can save souls. Okay, let's move on. You know what she wore around her waist? Any of you know? She got a rope. She got a piece of rope, and she tied the rope all the way around her waist. How do you think that feels? Think about that. Go to home base. Get a piece of rope that's starting to fray, and you tie that around your waist. And you walk around the whole day with that rope around your waist. What are you going to feel? And it's, that's going to be itchy and it's going to be a little bit painful. What do you think? She did that to save souls. 9 years old. 9 years old. I gave this talk a week ago to priests and religious and nuns, basically the same talk. And the more I talked, the more I felt embarrassed because Jacinta does many more sacrifices than Father Broome, and I felt ashamed. But it helped me because I'm trying to offer up maybe a little bit more sacrifices. After studying Jacinta, giving talks on Jacinta, writing articles on Jacinta. Why, I love that little girl. She's in heaven. I really believe she's praying for me. Once I get to heaven, Jacinta, you're way up there. Say hello to a lady for me. I think she's going to be way up there. Way up there. Little girl, I think she's going to be way up there in heaven because she loved God so much. She loved Mary so much. She loved souls so much. And what's important for us is to love. To love God, to love Mary. And what does God love most? God loves souls. In this world, what God loves most are our souls, more than anything else. Your soul is worth more than the whole created universe. Did you know that? Not using hyperbole, okay? Your soul is worth more than the whole world because you were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed on Calvary on Good Friday. Yes? You know what happened on Good Friday? Jesus was nailed to the cross. He shed every drop of His blood for you and for you. And for me too. And you too. That's how important we are in the eyes of God. Anything more? Basically, everything she did was a sacrifice to Mary and Jesus to save souls. Her whole life. But I mentioned a few other things. Now, when you go to school, you go to school from, what, about 8 to about 2:30, something like that? 8 to 3? When you go to school, times have changed. When I went to school, I'd have a bag lunch. I don't know if they still do that. You know what I would eat? Peanut butter and jelly. That was my staple. Very American, huh? On the good days, my mom, peanut butter and honey. Ooh. Give me a sandwich, maybe a sandwich and a half, but that was about it. And maybe a carrot, so I'd have good eyes, but I still had got glasses anyway. Like you, we're four eyes, right? And then maybe a couple of cookies. That was it. I don't know if you bring a bag lunch or there's a cafeteria here. Nothing? So they fast the whole day? Now these children, when they're going off to tend their sheep, they would have lunch. But guess what? On the way there, they met children that were even more poor than them, and they gave their lunches to those poor children. That means they went the whole day without eating. Wow. I admire that. Today I was working hard most of the day, but about 2 o'clock I had to go and get some pollo loco. A pollo bowl. At least a half of one. Okay? So they were willing. They're willing to suffer hunger to save souls. Nine years old. So, these children here, you can become saints if you want to. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can all be saints if you want to. Even this little guy that's falling asleep during my homily right now. Right? He didn't know that he's part of my talk today, did he? Now here's another one. So they go the day without eating. And they got the rope around their waist. One day, it was a very, very hot summer day. They were outside, and they had no water. And they were dying of thirst. Lucia, the oldest one, went to a nearby house, knocked on the door, said, "Could you give me and my two cousins some water? We're dying of thirst." And the lady in the house gave her a pitcher of water. So, she brought the water back, and Jacinta said, "Pour the water into the ground so that we can suffer thirst for the salvation of souls." 9 years old. 9 years old. No education. No Mercedes-Benz for daddy. No long vacations in Acapulco. Huh? Little girl, didn't even know how to read and write. But she had a good teacher. Her teacher was Our Lady Fatima. Pretty good teacher. Pretty good teacher. Now I think that was maybe about the toughest. I played baseball under the hot sun in New York and New Jersey. New York and New Jersey is probably like Manila or Cebu. Very hot and humid. California, the weather is great here. Thanks be to God for the rain, huh? But I know what it is to be underneath the sun for 3 or 4 hours playing baseball or cutting grass. So being thirsty, that's hard. Have you ever been thirsty in your life? Have you? Think about this little girl being thirsty and saying, "Well, I'm not going to drink that water." Why? I've already told you 10 times. Because she wanted to save souls. From where? From going to hell. Save souls from going to hell. Little girl was only 9 years old. 9 years old. Then, because it was so hot and humid, she got a headache. Did you ever get a headache? So have I. Headache. Not a joke. Get a migraine headache? Oh boy. Headache is you got to go to school, or I got to sit in the confessional, hear another 50 confessions. Man, and I got to fake it that I'm really feeling good. No, it's hard. It's hard. Hard to fake it at times, huh? You know what? She started to complain because you could hear. You ever hear the crickets? The field hear the crickets, those grillos, the crickets that are making a lot of noise. You got this splitting headache. And Jacinta started to complain, and Francisco said, "Hey, offer up your headache." Ah. Offer up your headache to save souls. And Jacinta said, "Ah, I forgot about that." Now the last thing I'd like to tell about what she did, I'd like to give you maybe 2 or 3 suggestions to the children as well as the parents, is that in the month of August, okay, the vision of hell was July. Now, Lady appeared on the 13th of almost every month. But the month of August, August 13th. Do you know where the children were? You don't know? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you, okay? They were in jail. The children were actually in jail. You know why? Because the governor of Fatima, where they lived, had heard that these children were having visions and it was causing a lot of problems in the town. So the government wanted to shut the kids down, shut them up. So they brought the children in to the place where there was a jail. They said to the children, now think about these are three little children your age. They said, you three children, Lucia the oldest, Jacinta and Francisco, brother and sister, you have to tell me publicly now that everything that you saw, that was just a lie. You didn't see anything. Recant it. Take it back. And they said to the children, if you don't tell, you don't say it was a lie, in another room, there is a big cauldron, that means a big pot, of boiling oil, and we're going to throw you in that big pot of boiling oil. What would you do? Now be honest. There's a big, hot, boiling cauldron of boiling oil. And if you don't say that it was just a lie, you're making it up, we're going to throw you in that and you're going to burn to death. What will you do? Some of the adults? Huh? Oh, Mr. Mayor, yeah, it was just an optical illusion. I didn't really see it, right? Hello? Probably a lot of us would become gallinas or chickens, huh? Chicken out. We probably would. So they said, uh-uh. We saw it, and we're going to stick to our word. We're not going to tell a lie. That's very interesting. How many children today sometimes tell lies? Yeah, well, at least you admit it. You're honest. I admire you. Huh? At least you admit it. Your confirmation is going to be Pinocchio, right? Okay. But these children, uh-uh. No. So they dragged... They dragged Jacinta in, and the other heard, ah! And they dragged Francisco in, ah! And they pulled Lucia in, and there they were. They were not thrown into the big pot of boiling oil. The governor was just faking it. So these children could even receive the palm of martyrdom. They're ready to die rather than to tell one lie. 9 years old. I'm just reminding you, 9 years old. That's why I admire so much this little girl. You asked me to talk about holiness. I'm talking about holiness in the most concrete way that everyone can understand. We're all called to become saints. We're all called to become saints. So I'm going to conclude giving you three suggestions that can help us to become saints. Number one is this. The biggest problem in the church, the biggest problem in the world, is that we don't have enough saints. That's the biggest problem in the world. Now let me tell you this. If you want to be a saint, all of us, young and old, we have to learn how to pray and to pray with fervor. Do any of you know what fervor is? None of you? None of you know what fervor means, okay? Well, I'll explain what fervor means in English. Okay, the opposite of fervor would be mediocrity, tepidity, lukewarmness. Praying with fervor means you're praying with fire. With fire. So when you're talking to God, you're really talking with a lot of faith and devotion and love when you talk to God. In my experience, unless the people have done this spiritual exercise with me, very rarely do I ever meet anyone that has any fervor. No offense. Very rarely. Saying a few prayers before you go to bed, maybe a couple in the morning, maybe say a prayer at midday, maybe another distracted prayer, 3 o'clock. But praying with a lot of fervor is very rare. And these children, once they had the vision of hell, they prayed with fervor, with fire and devotion, because they wanted to console the heart of Jesus and Mary to save souls. So that's one thing I'm going to be begging you tonight. Beg for the grace to pray with fervor. Let me tell you something that happened in my life. I think one of the greatest gifts I ever had in my life is that even when I was a small child, I always liked to pray. Even when I was a small child. My parents didn't have to force me. I'd go up my room, close the door, kneel down, I'd say my prayers, I'd read my prayer book, and I always liked to do that. That was a huge grace that God gave to me. I don't think I've ever met a child that does that yet, except Dominic Savio. But I hope after this talk that all of us can go home with a desire to pray with fire. Jesus said, I've come to cast fire on the earth, fire, and I'm not at peace until that fire is enkindled. What is that fire? It's the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? God. Who teaches us how to pray? The Holy Spirit. Who taught the apostles how to pray after Pentecost? The Holy Spirit. Who was there in the cenacle? Mary, praying for 9 days and nine nights, right? Do you know the Bible? So that's one. Number two is this. In your families, are you listening? Are you?
Yes.
Try to love each other. Not only try, but love each other. Do any of you know the last commandment of Jesus Christ? The last and greatest commandment of Jesus Christ, at the Last Supper, he said, love one another as I've loved you. And your families, love each other. When I was brought up and raised, I never had my own room because we're nine all together. I come from a big family, okay? So I always had to sleep on the bunk bed, okay? And you know who my best friend was? My best friend was my older brother. Very rarely do I ever hear any child say, my best friend is my oldest sister. Usually it's my worst enemy. So in your family, do any of you have brothers and sisters? How many have brothers and sisters? So what you have to try to do is try to be friends with your brothers and your sisters. I see a lot of children, they're bowing their heads like this. They don't want to hear this, huh? Try to be friends. With that older brother, I lived with him for 17 years. You know how many? I had two fights with him in 17 years. What do you think about that? too. I won them also because I'm a little bit stronger than him. But two fights. Aside from that, best friends. And I think you know the reason behind it is because when my mom and dad married, they would always pray before they went to bed. When they had Mike and then me, what they taught us was pray for mom and dad, pray for your older brother, pray for your younger brother. So mom was praying for dad, and dad was praying for mom. Mike was praying for Ed. Ed was praying for Mike. Mike was praying for mom and dad. And Ed was praying for mom and dad. So there was a triangle of all of us was praying for each other. And for that reason, we really got along well together. Really. Two fights in 17 years. Aside from that, we really were good friends. You have to aim at that. Okay, you were not taught this before you got married. That's why we have to work with forming those who are going to get married. That's the way it should be. And even now, what happened was, in my family have two doctors. That older brother is a back surgeon. And I'm a soul surgeon. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I thought you'd like that, huh? So if you have a back problem, you go to Orlando, Florida, he'll put your back right. You got problems with your soul, come to the priest, we're the soul surgeon. Amen?
Amen.
So that's the second advice I'd give to all of you. Is try to live out what Jesus said, love one another as I've loved you. And one more step. After the love we have for God, the strongest love on a human level should be between the husband and the wife. Thomas Aquinas. You know, when I was a child, when my dad would go off to work, any of you hear of Manhattan? My dad worked in Manhattan. That's in New York City. He worked on Wall Street. And my mom stayed home to watch over the kids. But when my dad would leave, he'd always give my mother a kiss. When he came back, he'd always give my mother a kiss. I said, why are they always kissing each other? It's because mom loved dad and dad loved mom. And as a child, at first I felt kind of uncomfortable, then I kind of liked it. They felt, hey, they really love each other. They're always kissing. But they always love each other. So after loving God, mom and dad have to love each other. And if you're loving each other, the kids pick it up right away. Right? You love each other, kids pick it up right away. That's what God wants. That's what can be a sacrifice. Sometimes you have to be kind to someone in your family when you don't feel good. You got to be kind anyway. Sometimes you have to smile when you don't even want to smile. Yeah. That's a sacrifice. And that sacrifice can save souls. Little sacrifices. A smile. And what children today in general don't know how to say is please and thank you. Pope Francis said we have to learn how to say please and thank you. Please and thank you. Okay, the last thing I'd like to say, I think I hear your stomachs are growling, huh? Is Our Lady of Fatima and Jacinta Francisca Lucia teach us the importance of praying the rosary. When I came in here, it was very beautiful. You're praying the rosary. I had to interrupt it because we have a certain time limitation. You know what I was doing when I was in my car coming here? What do you think? Praying the rosary. I prayed almost 5 decades from Hawaiian Gardens to Artesia. I was in the car, rosary. So all of you, parents and children, pray the rosary every day. Amen? And none of you are going to come to me. I'm not going to let you off the hook. You ever come to me? Father, we don't have time to pray the rosary. We have a word in New York. Baloney. Baloney. You know what baloney means? It's a food we eat, but it means nonsense. Nonsense. There's no one here in this room who can say, you can't pray the rosary. The rosary only takes 15 minutes. And every day we spend time wasting some of our time. 24 hours in the day, all of us should pray the rosary. Pope Francis prays 3 or 4 a day. John the 23rd prayed 3 a day. John Paul II probably prayed 3 or 4 a day. Padre Pio probably prayed 10 a day. So pray the rosary. Pray the rosary, and the best way to do it, I'm talking to parents now, children like schedules. They do. The children like order. If they're disordered, that's the problem of the parent. But children like order. I would suggest that all of you pray the rosary. Try to pray the rosary at the same time every day. Same time and same place. And I would suggest right before dinner, not after, because all hell breaks loose. No, right before dinner. What should you do? Turn off the TV, turn off your phone, your iPad, your tablet, whatever, everything, put it down. And in your home, you should have a nice, beautiful picture of Mary. The Mexicans love Our Lady of Guadalupe. The Filipinos love Our Lady of Perpetual Help, right? And Our Lady of Fatima, because that's the name of your school, right? You have a beautiful statue picture of Mary. Okay? Then you should have of the Sacred Heart or Divine Mercy. Then you should have a basket with rosaries. Then you can light a couple of candles. And you can burn some incense. Then after that, pray the rosary. You got 5, each one can lead the decade, offering a specific intention. When I pray the rosary, I ask Mary, every time I say a Hail Mary, I will help to save a soul from going to hell. Every Hail Mary. Why not? What would happen if 100 of us, as every time we pray Hail Mary, we would save a soul from going to hell, and that soul will go to heaven? So all of us are called to become saints. All of us are called to work with Jesus and Mary to bring many, many souls to heaven. So let's follow the example of those 3 little children. Jacinta was only 9 years old. Now Jacinta, where is she now? She's in heaven. I believe that Mary has a crown, beautiful crown. And I believe Jacinta is a beautiful diamond in the crown of Our Lady of Fatima. Amen.
Amen.
So may God bless you, and I'm going to pray that all of you will become great saints and bring many, many souls to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so right now, as I mentioned earlier, I've written some books. If you'd like to buy a book or two, or maybe 5, as many as you like, there's the books on my right. Also, I brought, with the help of Mary, I brought two articles that I wrote on Jacinta, and a summary of one of my chapters, the 10 M's to grow in holiness. So you should receive, all of you, two of my articles on Jacinta and a summary of one of my chapters, the 10 M's to grow in holiness. And I'd like to say a closing Hail Mary, and I'll give you my priestly blessing that all of you become saints and bring many souls to heaven. So let's say the Hail Mary together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Our Lady Fatima, pray for us.
And
God bless you. Have a great night.
Father Broom, on behalf of the family so worthy of Fatima School, we'd like to give you the certificate of appreciation for taking time to speak into our third public community retreat.
Thank you very much. Thank you.